Support for WPR comes from WIPS with Toward One Wisconsin, a conference on equity, diversity, and inclusion, May 7th and 8th in Eau Claire. Registration information and more is at t1w.org.
You're listening to Central Time. I'm Rob Ferret.
And I'm Veronica Rickert. More than 60 years after its publication, Aldo Leopold's famous book, A Sand County Almanac, continues to influence conversations about the relationship between people and the land. It also inspired musician Tim Southwick Johnson, who set many of Leopold's themes and words to music. Today, Johnson shares his discovery of Leopold in this episode of Wisconsin Life.
In 2010, I was performing at the Lake Geneva Conservancy fundraiser, and on a table they had a stack of paperback Sand County almanacs. So I grabbed it and took it home and started reading it that evening, and wham, I was hooked.
Fog over the marsh, see the white ghost of a glacier.
I knew just vaguely about, you know, his history, and that was it. So I think I had read part of the book in high school, but beyond that, this was really pretty much my introduction to him. As I read through some of the early chapters, I just kept stumbling across these lines where I said, oh, that'd make a great line in a song right there. And I kept finding more and more, and I thought, well, I'll write a song.
Come on home.
I was very fortunate. I played a performance at the Leopold Foundation Center north of Baraboo. And after I got done, I was about ready to go, and they wondered where I was heading for the night, and they said, well, you can stay here if you want. And they threw the keys to me for the shack, which, you know, it was just getting dark, and so I drove over there and found the kitchen matches and lit the oil lamps and went down to the river and watched the cranes fly home for the night. Just like you would expect in the book, and had a little fire out front. Kind of fantasized that maybe some of that wood was the good oak that he writes about, which is probably long gone. But had a really nice restful night. Woke up crack of dawn the following morning and played a little music out front, of course, and that was my visit. The realization that a lot of the things that he wrote about are still there. And to experience it firsthand and just to be in that environment by yourself was kind of an eye-opener for me in that, you know, yeah, this is very real still, maybe more real now than ever. You know, music can really bring out emotions that I don't want to discount the written word, of course, but music is ancient, and even as Leopold writes about the cranes,
those clamoring cranes,
the sound of the woodcock in flight, all the birds in the great possession section, that's all music. And I think that spoke to him. And even the wind in the trees and all that, there's a rhythm to it.
They bring life to this land, it's a sound of joy. Turn around the world.
If what I have done opens the eyes and ears of more people to his message, that's a great thing. And spreading the word about his land ethic and how we need to live lighter on the land is important. And I'm really honored to be, you know, just a tiny, tiny part of that.
Tim Southwick Johnson's latest album is called Sand County Songs.
Wisconsin Life is produced by Erica Janik. This episode is produced in partnership with the Wisconsin Humanities Council. For more info, visit wisconsinlife.org.
So clearly, Aldo Leopold had an impact on Tim Southwick Johnson. He also had a huge impact on the conservation community and on the state of Wisconsin.
Stan Temple joins us now. He's Professor Emeritus of Conservation, Forest and Wildlife Ecology and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison, a senior fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation.
So thank you so much for joining us.
Glad to be here.
So tell us about Aldo Leopold a bit more. We heard about, you know, his words and his philosophies through the prism of music. But in plain speech, what were some of his more groundbreaking beliefs about the land ethic?
Well, the land ethic is Aldo Leopold's original contribution to conservation, really. It was perhaps the most important idea that he had during his impressive life. Certainly not the only idea. He's considered to be the father of modern wildlife management. He was the first to occupy an academic position devoted to wildlife conservation right here at the University of Wisconsin. He had lots of firsts, and to some extent he was a person who was way ahead of his time. And I think it's really just now that we're starting to appreciate some of the wisdom of Aldo Leopold's words from so many decades ago.
Now, you said the land ethic is his contribution. For someone who might not know that much about that, how would you define the land ethic?
Well, we all know that if you're going to live successfully in a human community, that there are rules of society that are governed by ethics. There are things that are right and wrong to do if you want the community to run smoothly. And the same is true in the biological community. There are ethical rules determining what is right or wrong for us as human beings to do to the other living creatures that share the planet with us. And Aldo Leopold was the first to really enunciate that idea that our relationship with nature not only had an economic basis, but it also had an ethical basis.
And what do you think are some of the conservation efforts that we have today that we wouldn't have without him?
Well, for one thing, we probably wouldn't have the modern science of wildlife management. Other fields that he contributed to, the development of ecological restoration, and we have the University of Wisconsin Arboretum as one of the first examples of that. Even more recently, Aldo Leopold had lots of things to say about what is today still a controversial matter of deer management in Wisconsin. He had a lot to say about just about all the problems that we have in the modern world. Some of it actually relevant to problems that he never even knew existed. For example, we've been able to use Aldo Leopold's field journals to unravel the impact of climate change on plants and animals in Wisconsin. And I'm sure we haven't mined the full extent of all of his potential contributions.
Now, we've talked a lot about, you know, his philosophies and how they've been adopted, but there's also the way he said it. So beautiful. It's like poetry. I remember hearing some of it when I was young. My mom read me some pages from the book. Do you remember when you first read A Sand County Almanac?
Oh, I definitely do. I was a teenager working at the Cleveland Museum of Natural History and had just gotten my driver's permit, and the director of the museum gave me the museum's Jeep to go collecting. I was supposed to collect snakes. And it rained all weekend. And
good snake weather.
And there was one thing to read in the little cabin I was staying at, and it was a Sand County Almanac. And I loved the book and tried to buy a copy in 1960, and it was temporarily out of print. It had sold very poorly during the 1940s and 1950s, even into the 1960s. It wasn't until 1967 when Oxford University Press, either through brilliant marketing or probably more likely dumb luck, came out with a paperback edition. And it just happened to correspond to the emergence of the modern environmental movement. And suddenly, 20 years after Leopold had written these words, there was an audience ready to read those words and understand their meaning.
Now, obviously an influential guy. He's influenced you. He's influenced our musician there. Why did he come out of Wisconsin, do you think? Is there something significant about the landscape and the natural world in Wisconsin that sort of made it possible for him to do what he did and to change our thinking about ecology the way he did?
Well, he was a Midwesterner born in Iowa, spent the first half of his career in the Southwest in Arizona and New Mexico. But when he came back to Wisconsin and when he took the position at the University of Wisconsin is when he really was given the intellectual freedom, if you will, to explore all of these ideas more fully. And to say that it was an improbable occurrence that he got a professorship at the University of Wisconsin is an understatement. Here was this guy with no academic credentials in a field that never before existed in academia. It's the Great Depression. The university's budget was undoubtedly in terrible condition. And yet a very far-sighted dean managed to hire Aldo Leopold and give him a chance. And obviously we know today that that was a very worthwhile investment.
Mm. Well, I want to thank you so much for coming by and talking about him today.
You're welcome.
We've been talking to Stan Temple, Professor Emeritus of Conservation, Forest and Wildlife Ecology and Environmental Studies at UW-Madison and a Senior Fellow at the Aldo Leopold Foundation.